Good evening and welcome to our midweek service here at Heritage Baptist Church. We certainly appreciate you joining with us this evening. Pray that the message tonight will be a blessing, help, and an encouragement to us. As we are coming to the Christmas time, just a couple of days from now, we want to take a break from our study in the Gospel of John. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 1. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 1. In 1953, on New Zealand's North Island, a flash flood had severely damaged the supports of a bridge that spanned the Wangehu River. Just a few minutes after the bridge was damaged, the overnight Wellington to Auckland express passenger train carrying some 285 passengers was approaching the bridge. A passerby by the name of Cyril Ellis, he had witnessed the damage to the bridge, and he was standing by the tracks frantically waving a torch. As a result of his warning, some 200 meters from the bridge, the driver, a fellow by the name of Charles Parker, he was locomotive engineer first class, shut off the steam and initiated emergency air brake application. The fireman, by the name of Lance Redmond, shut off the fuel supply to the engine. But in spite of all that was done, the train could not be stopped in time. As it went out onto the bridge collapsed, and the first eight cars dropped into the rushing waters of the river, killing 151 people. Now, that would have been a great tragedy on any day of the year, but this tragedy took place at 10:30 p.m. on Christmas Eve. In other words, this tragedy struck people who were only minutes from their homes and only a couple of hours from Christmas Day. And this was a tragedy that struck people who were waiting for the arrival of their loved ones. But instead of enjoying a Christmas that was filled with celebrations and rejoicing, their Christmas was tragically interrupted with heartache, with sorrow, and with weeping. The fact is, many people, even today, have high expectations of Christmas. They want everything to be perfect. After all, they have heard the song sung by Andy Williams declaring that Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, and it's the happiest season of all. And so many look at the Christmas season and they expect it to be a time of peace and a time of harmony and a time of joy. But for many, it will be a difficult time, a disappointing time, because something has come into their life that is interrupting all of their plans and all of their dreams. In fact, it's interesting. That's exactly what we find happening during the very first Christmas. The Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse number 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." And it's here that we find the Christmas story is given to us from Joseph's perspective. This is Joseph's perspective of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see in our time together this evening how that as Joseph approached that first Christmas, his life basically was turned upside down. All of his plans were totally interrupted by the sovereign plan of God. I want you to notice a couple of things with me. Notice, first of all, number one, the tragedy that marred his life. The tragedy that marred his life. A couple of things I would notice here. First of all, there was the tragedy of shocking discoveries. The tragedy of shocking discoveries. In Bible times, when a couple was engaged to be married, both parties were expected to keep themselves morally clean and morally pure until the day that they would come together physically as husband and wife. It was during that period of their engagement, you remember, that Mary had received a heavenly visitor. In Luke chapter 1, verse 30 and verse 31, you remember, it was during this period that the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." And so Mary receives this heavenly visitor, but she also receives from that heavenly visitor some news that her cousin Elizabeth is now expecting a child. And so in Luke chapter 1, verse 56, we find that Mary then immediately goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth and stayed there with her for about 3 months, or stayed with her until her child, who would grow up to be John the Baptist, was born. But when Mary returned home after being away for 3 months, it was very obvious that she was changed. She was now clearly showing what is sometimes referred to as a baby bump. She is obviously pregnant. And certainly Mary would have told Joseph her side of the story. But Joseph knew where babies came from. And to hear such a claim in his human mind would have been something that would have been totally ridiculous. And so to learn that Mary was expecting his fiance is going to have a child, to say the very least, that was a shocking discovery. Not only do we find the shocking discovery, but we also find, letter B, the tragedy of shattered dreams. The tragedy of shattered dreams. In Bible times, when a couple was betrothed to be married, the man would be engaged in preparing the home where that he and his new bride and his new wife would live, where they would raise their children. As a professional carpenter, as a professional builder, we can only imagine what kind of place Joseph dreamed about and what kind of place that he dreamed of building for his family. But now his shocking discovery had shattered his dreams. Notice also number three, letter C, there was the tragedy of sorrowful decisions. In verse number 19 of Matthew chapter 1, the Bible says, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." To be espoused was such a binding thing in those days, far more than what we are used to today with our tradition of getting engaged. To be betrothed was an extremely binding thing, to the point that even when a couple was betrothed, they would become known as husband and wife. Even though there was, as of yet, no intimate relationships between them until the wedding day, they were still called husband and wife. And Joseph, being a just man, the Bible says, knew exactly what the law required. You can check it out in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 23 and verse 24. He knew that according to the law, if a woman espoused to a husband was found to have had sexual relations with some other man, then both of them, the woman and the man, were to be publicly stoned. They're to be publicly put to death. But because of his love for Mary, Joseph did not want to embarrass her. And he certainly did not want to see her stoned to death. And so he is in a state of turmoil, trying to think of how he can put her away privately. Certainly, as Joseph pondered these things, his heart was broken. It's a time for sorrowful decisions. So there was the tragedy that marred his life. But then I want you to also notice number two, the task that marked his life. The task that marked his life. Verse number 20 of chapter 1 in the Gospel of Matthew. The Bible says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David." In other words, in the middle of all the tragedy that was going on in Joseph's life, God called him to a task. God called him to a task that many young men would have rejected out of hand. But it was a task that Joseph embraced by faith and completed by faith. Now notice with me three things about this task that God called Joseph to perform. First of all, I want you to notice the first thing about this task is it involved divine revelations. It involved divine revelations, and this is seen in two ways. First of all, it is seen in its delivery. It is seen in its delivery. The fact that this was a divine revelation is made perfectly clear when we understand that this task was made known to Joseph by the angel of the Lord. This is not just some earthly messenger. It's a heavenly messenger that makes the task known. And so the divine revelation, it's seen in its delivery, but it's also seen, number two, in its content. Notice in verse 20, the angel says to Joseph, "That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." In other words, Joseph is told now in very clear terms that the child that Mary is carrying, it is not the result of an immoral relationship. It is not the result of sin. Rather, the child that Mary is carrying is no ordinary child. Her child is the Son of God. And so there was, first of all, the divine revelation. But we also see the task that marked his life is seen in the fact that it involved definite requirements. It involved some definite requirements. First of all, there was a requirement, number one, concerning his wife. In Matthew 1:20, it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife." In other words, the angel makes it very clear he is not to have Mary put to death, and he's not to embarrass Mary by going through the procedures of divorce, but rather he is to go through with the wedding plans. He's to carry on, and he's to take her as his wife. There's the requirement concerning his wife, but there's also the requirement concerning her son. Notice it in verse 21. "She shall bring forth a son," notice it, "and thou shalt call his name Jesus." By receiving the responsibility of giving the name, by receiving the responsibility of naming Jesus, Joseph was actually being given the responsibility of caring for the Christ child. He's given the responsibility of providing for the Christ child. He's given the responsibility of raising up the Christ child. And he's given the responsibility that he is to love and he's to raise that child as if he were his own. In other words, he was given a task that any man would find to be something very difficult to do. To find it very difficult. But I want you to notice letter C, that this task also involved delightful realizations. Delightful realizations. After hearing what was required by his task, Joseph learned an amazing truth. And the truth that he learned was simply this, that the baby that Mary was carrying in her womb was actually the fulfillment of the greatest promise the Lord God ever gave to humanity. Notice it in chapter 1, verse 21. "He shall save his people from their sins." In other words, that child was the fulfillment of the very promise that the Lord God had given through the prophet Isaiah. Notice that in Matthew 1, verse 22 and verse 23, it says, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet. You find that in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where it says, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Now, there's a great lesson that I want us to notice here. A great lesson that I would like to just point out for our consideration tonight. You see, God has a plan. He has a purpose for every life. And many times the task that God has for us to fulfill may not be easy. In fact, it may be extremely difficult. It may be a task that will cause us to be misunderstood by many people. It may be a task that will cause many to look down on us. But as one writer has well noted, along the way, there will be some times when heaven will brush up close to the earth, and God will give us a little glimpse of that which He is seeking to accomplish in and through our lives. And it's in those moments, in those times when God begins to allow us to just catch a glimpse of what it is that He is seeking to do in our life, that then we begin to recognize the truth of the words that are in that song written by Ron Hamilton. God never moves without purpose or plan, and trying a servant and molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord, though your testing be long. In darkness He giveth a song. That was the tragedy that marred His life. There was the task that marked His life. But then number three, I want you to notice the testimony that measured His life. The testimony that measured His life. The real test of spiritual maturity is not what a person faces in life or in what they are called on to do. The real evidence of the depth of a person's Christian character is in what they do with the circumstances that they are handed. How they deal with the circumstances that God allows to come into our lives. And in Joseph, we see three things. First of all, we see his unconditional compliance. In verse number 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. Understanding the gossip that Mary would certainly face, understanding the slanders that would come against them from their neighbors, not to mention their families because of her pregnancy, many men would have said, "Hey, you know what? It's just not worth the hassle. It's not worth the trouble." And they would have deserted Mary like a rat jumping off of a sinking ship, but not Joseph. Not Joseph. As soon as he awoke, he rose up. He did exactly what the Lord had commanded him to do. In spite of his questions, in spite of his natural concerns, in spite of the fears that he may have had, Joseph set out by faith to obey the Lord. What a great testimony that is. But not only do we see the testimony of his unconditional compliance, there's also his testimony concerning his unwavering commitment. In verse 25, notice again, it says that he knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son. In other words, even after the wedding ceremony was over and the consummation of their marriage was expected and all of the things that were involved, yet Joseph refrained from having any physical relations with Mary until after she had given birth to the Christ child. You remember the prophecy that was stated back in verse number 23? Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son. Did you catch it? In other words, Mary was a virgin when she conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, and she was still a virgin when the Christ child was born. And therefore, Joseph willingly set aside his own natural desires. He set aside his own natural needs. He set aside his own natural rights as a husband. He put all of that aside because he wanted nothing more than to do the perfect will of God. Again, what a great testimony that is. But then I want you to notice the third thing, and that is his unfailing completion. His unfailing completion. When the Christ child was born some 6 months later, Joseph, as we mentioned a moment ago, he took the responsibility of caring for the Christ child. He took the responsibility of providing for the Christ child, for raising the Christ child. And he showed the fact that he was taking that responsibility when he obeyed the command of the angel in verse 25, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph did the difficult task that was given to him so very well. He did it so very well. He fulfilled his responsibility so completely that everybody in Nazareth, when they saw the Lord Jesus, even after he became a grown man and was beginning his own ministry, they all remembered and they all recognized him, Matthew 13:55, as the carpenter's son. The carpenter's son. Again, what a great testimony. I said a moment ago, God has a plan and a purpose for each and every life. And there will be times when his plan and his purpose may be very difficult for us to carry out. But a genuine faith in God never seeks for the easy way. It never seeks for the shortcut. Rather, true faith will always be willing to go wherever God leads, regardless of the cost and regardless of the consequences. The bottom line, on that first Christmas, God certainly did some amazing things. He did some amazing things, but let's not forget that one of the things that God did on that first Christmas was when he took a humble carpenter and used him to carry out an important heavenly mission. And I want you to understand this evening, I want you to understand that God is still looking for ordinary people who have an extraordinary faith, which allows them to be used of God in an extraordinary way to do extraordinary things for him. God is still looking for ordinary people, people like me and people like you, who are willing to humble themselves and to be used by God to carry out his will in the world today. In other words, people who are willing to follow him in spite of the difficulties, in spite of the heartaches, in spite of the tragedies that may come into their life. They don't give up on God, but they just faithfully follow him. And they maintain the right kind of testimony. They maintain the right kind of attitude before God and before men. And then they just are people who determine they're willing to just keep on keeping on, as my father-in-law used to say so many times. They keep on keeping on, trusting God's mighty power until their assignment, until their task is completed. Let me ask you a question this evening. Are you that kind of person? Are you that kind of person? Are you like Joseph, willing by faith to follow the Lord, even when faced with those many disruptions that might seek to interrupt us, disruptions that might seek to sidetrack us from doing what God wants us to do? But may God help us always to be faithful, as Joseph was, to fulfill the task of our Heavenly Father. Certainly something we ought to think about and we ought to consider as we come to this Christmas season. I want to wish each one of you a Merry Christmas. And I pray that through this season and through the new year to come, that God would bless each one of us in a very special way, and that all of us might be faithful to do what He would have for us to do.